we are rolling. It is time for another episode of Ticket Studs, and we are going to be drafting the year 1999 in film. Let's introduce ourselves. On mic four, we have...
Senor Littell.
Senor.
That's it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Strong opening. Nice. On mic three, we have...
Jeff Arvin. I mean, Mr. Arvin. Geography.
El Jefe.
History of the world.
El Jefe Arvino.
Mic two, we've got...
Nicholas Rocco Salemi.
Mr.
No relation to Benito Mussolini.
You should have just ended it with no relation.
No.
Because that would have been funny.
No relation.
He's been excommunicated by his family.
Yeah.
No relations.
No relations.
After the last episode, they all disowned me.
And on mic one, myself, Kashner, and we are going to be drafting 1999. Like I said, the draft order, Salemi at one, Arvin at two, Littell at three. Mm. I am on the turn at four again. We're going to switch that up next episode.
That's
one.
Amazing. It's three in a row, right?
I think it is all three, yeah. So we'll switch it up for sure next time.
You are first again, dog.
I hit first last time, and we were like, no, we can't do that. And by we, I mean literally I was like, no, that's ridiculous. But Cash has been fourth every time.
Yeah. We can do this at the last second. We can switch. You want to go four and I go one?
What?
If I let you go one, you're not going to screw me, are you? You're not going to take who I'm going to take.
I'm not going to take yours, no.
There are no
takes it immediately.
All right,
oh, my God.
All right. I'll do it.
We're swapping. I'm going to be one. You're going to be four.
Woo!
Dude, what?
I swear to God, if you take my
inside
pick on collusion out of
here,
I'm storming out of
here. Oh, is that okay with you guys?
Inside trading.
I actually don't care.
Okay, I'm going to start the timer. 1999, draft is underway. From director Guy Ritchie, I'm going to...
There's no way.
Lock, stock, goodbye.
I got to say, the light categories for me, Misunderstood, there's a lot of bad movies with all the good ones, but there's
there are
a lot of bad movies that I don't want to take.
Yeah.
Whereas in the past, there's actually ones that I like.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, for comedy, I'm going Office Space, number one.
That's good. That's a good pull. I think we were all probably looking at that one.
With Steve Carell?
Dang. Yep, that one.
That's The Office?
The Office Space. No, it was the first, other than probably King of the Hill, my first foray into Mike Judge and how funny he can be. Classic characters, Milton. Stephen Root is great in literally everything he does.
Okay.
Ron Livingston, the ultimate everyman. His meeting with the Bobs. Jennifer Aniston slumming it in an indie. Just love it. Easy number one for me.
They took my stapler.
I'm going to burn down the building.
Excuse me.
That character literally could say anything with that voice.
Oh, 100%. And it's hilarious.
Right. Also, we got one of the most referenced scenes in movie history with the beatdown of the computer.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's been referenced in so many shows. And
song is the perfect, Mike Judge and his needle drops are just great. And then just... throwing it down and then grabbing the bat.
And I love when they like pull him back.
Yeah.
He just can't control
it. It's enough,
himself.
Man. It's enough.
Probably the hardest I've laughed ever at a movie when the guy with the mat that jumps to conclusions, he tries to kill himself. He finally gets the will to live. His wife reminds him that there's love in this world and he has a purpose, and he backs out and is immediately T-boned. The first time I saw that,
and
I about
he's in the
pissed
full
myself.
Body
cast. Yeah.
That is great.
All right, Arvin, you're up.
Oh, man, that's a tough one to follow because, boy, that is a good pick as a comedy. Man, I feel like there's so many things at the top end of these things, too. Like, there's so many good movies. I legitimately have 30 on my list from this year that I feel like I could make a case for. Which
30
makes
comedies or 30 total?
30 total films.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I mean, there's probably, like, there are legitimately quick counting 10 comedies on my list, though. I mean, that I'd feel pretty good about making a pick. Like, I could pick one right now, but I don't need to. But what I am going to do...
Okay.
No, you really do need to make a selection.
Yeah. I truly don't need to pick a comedy, though, is what I'm saying. Oh. I do need to pick a film, and that film is, of course, The Matrix. So...
Ooh.
Yeah. Cash called that.
Yes.
I mean, it's amazing. I'm also going to take that because it could be taken, I think, as both a blockbuster and an Academy Award. I'm going to take it as the Academy Award, I think. which also means that I don't need to make a case for Star Wars later. So that's nice. Oh. So kills really two birds with one stone for me. But yeah, The Matrix is just it was the movie for a long, long time. Where I would have whatever the best version of it was, whether it was like, you know, I think I initially actually bought it on VHS and then I bought it on DVD when that came out. And that was like, oh, test your sound system with that elevator scene because it's surround sound and you can, you know, hear the bullets from all these different corners. And then the visuals, like, it's just, it's amazing across the board. And as a sci-fi fan, I cannot not take it first.
Also, so, one of the best betrayal twists ever in movies. Mm-hmm. Not like this.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Just the slow but sure just unplugging all of them. My
awful.
Gosh.
Just awful. And like you know, they've done such good character development to get you to care about all these like disparate people in the future and just yeah, it hits hard. And so yeah, I absolutely love it. And The Matrix is my choice.
Mm. I don't know that I ever got it.
What do you mean, got it?
It just wasn't for me.
See, it's so there's machines. It's like Terminator, except that you're now a battery because we, like, lost. Except there's, like, one city left.
Yeah.
Did I do it? Thing? Did I make it make more sense?
That city's trying to save people.
Was it the George W. Bush accent?
Did you watch the whole movie?
Yes.
Because I know sometimes you'll watch a movie and then just stop.
Yeah, this isn't like Return of the King. This is only, like, 2 hours and 10 minutes.
He has not made it there yet. He's made it 20 minutes into Fellowship.
And although that's now made every episode like 20 so far. Times,
so. I love some callbacks.
I never remember what red pill versus blue pill means, and so I just
red pill's the truth. That's why the whole red pill movement thing.
I just stay
that,
in the gray.
That awakens you. So the red pill, it sends, it makes your body send a signal to the city so that they can find your body and unplug you and take you. That's the whole thing.
Okay, now, okay, this does sound like a good movie. I like it.
That's it.
I don't want to use blue pill, nothing happens. Word so bad right now, but I'm not going to. Because I know that'll just make more work for Cash later.
I like the Matrix. The second one was all right. And no, it wasn't. The third one, I just didn't care.
Second and third movies
sucked. Yeah, they were not good.
Oh, so it isn't just me.
No.
Oh,
no,
I thought there was a whole
conversation. I can only make this case for the first movie.
Oh,
the first movie is fantastic.
The first movie is revolutionary. That Revolutions.
We said this. Oh, this was terrible. The whole argument last time when we brought this. Those sequels up.
Have we done this before?
This also might be the reason
the
why
Matrix?
I picked this.
Are we even whatever. Here?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Littell, you're up.
It's not on my sheet.
There's nothing on your sheet right
not
now.
Yet. Not yet.
You literally haven't even put your name on it.
I know it's mine.
Okay. For me, this seems pretty easy. I'm going to take my Oscar... And I'm going to get Fight Club now.
There it is. There it is.
Yeah, yo.
Yeah. What a baller movie. My God, I love this movie. So many good lines. Obviously, the twist is very good with Ed Norton being both the protagonist and antagonist in a way.
There goes Cash's will to watch this.
Yeah.
You've never seen Fight Club?
I just don't think I get it. No. I've seen it.
Yeah. So much. Right now.
Well, I mean, I don't know.
No way.
Some movies that surprised me.
That's true.
Yeah, great soundtrack too. Really killer soundtrack. I love the ending theme with
the Pixies.
The Pixies. Yeah.
The Pixies. Oh, Where Is My Mind?
Great outro with the buildings just crumbling.
And falling. Oh my God.
You do a lot of spoiler alerts when you talk about
this movie. This movie is 25 years old.
We're talking about 1999, everybody.
Yeah, but there's some 10-year-old right now listening, and he hasn't got around to it. Now he's like, why even bother?
That's his fault
Brad
being
Pitt.
Born too late.
Let me check out Fight Club. I'm 10 years old.
You watched City of God when you were like seven.
I didn't watch it when I was seven.
If there's a 10-year-old listening to this on YouTube, they are not going to watch Fight Club streaming somewhere.
No.
How else do I sell this movie? I mean, really great dialogue the whole time.
Oh, yeah. It's well written.
When you find
the book
out,
is fantastic.
Oh,
too,
the book is really good. Yeah. I love him as an author in general.
Yeah, Chuck Palahniuk's pretty awesome.
Play well in the book?
Something like that.
What? The fact that it's his subconscious the whole time?
There are hints, kind of.
Mm-hmm. Huh, I never thought about it as a book.
If you can believe it.
Yeah. I just never thought about how that reveal would have played out in a written format.
Pretty well.
Well, I'll take your word for it.
I will say, too, I think it's as good as it is because that's the perfect movie for Fincher. Like, he was the perfect director to make that movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The real quick flashes.
Oh, where they splice in the film?
Yeah, yeah. The splice in.
Also, just the bare-knuckle brawl scenes underground go crazy. They are violent.
Had to destroy something beautiful.
They just wail on each other.
I mean, I didn't like Jared Leto, but wow.
Brad Pitt is just incredibly funny in that movie.
He's great. He's so many good lines.
All right, Salemi, who's going to be your second pick after Austin Powers 2, Spy Who Shagged Me?
I'm going... I am for action, thriller, drama.
Okay.
Picking one of my all-time favorite movies, Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels.
It's a good movie.
It is a phenomenal movie. I love that film. And the first time you watch it, I watched it for the first time without subtitles.
Big mistake.
Oh, yeah.
How did you know what they were saying?
Well, to be fair, I probably watched it 15 years ago. I did not know how to, like, even turn on subtitles.
Is that the same dude who made Snatch?
Did you see it in the theater? Okay,
no, I didn't see it in the theater. Okay. No, I stumbled across it. I have no idea how I even started watching it.
Yeah.
And I think I've kept it on for a while just because the challenge of, what the hell are they saying?
Oh, my gosh. Snatch is the other one for me where I'm like,
oh, yeah.
Oh, anytime Brad Pitt talks in that movie.
Oh, yeah.
It's got to be intentional, too.
Oh, for sure.
Well, for that one, I don't want to know what he's saying. It's better if I don't.
That, too.
Best Guy Ritchie movie, Lock, Stock?
Probably so, because I don't think any movie ties all the loose ends together as well as it does.
Yeah.
The guns, the two antique guns, how they play a role in there. The guys who are dealing marijuana on the side, well, not on the side, they're making quite a bit of money. But yeah, just all of it tying in is just really, really done well.
Yeah.
Another great movie with just remarkable ambiance. Like when we talk about Fight Club, the grittiness, the London, the dirty underground, the gangster, whatever of London, of England is great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, some movies just get, like, atmosphere done so well that you forget you're even watching the movie. It's just,
it is good at that. I mean, it transports you, right? It really makes you feel like you're in a different place fully, which is hard to do. And the magic when it happens.
And it is the dirty underside of London, all the different criminal elements. To be honest with you, I never really thought of London as a criminal area until I watched Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels, because... Mm-hmm. The Brits just don't pull off being menacing all that well.
There's all Bridget Jones' Diary to you.
Yeah, pretty much.
Sense and sensibility.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
They don't stabbing in them. That great expectations. Doesn't lend itself to being
they like
menacing.
To stab stuff, man. They do. They don't have guns. They get to stab them.
That's right. Is there any? the only recognizable actor too in it is the giant fellow who. Oh my gosh,
Robbie Coltrane.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Takes the guy's head in the car. That's who we're talking about, right? Keeps bashing his head into the car. Opened it over and over again.
Like Daredevil did?
All right,
so. Lockstock with number one. What do we got at number two?
My number two?
It's not Statham.
Wait, okay.
No.
So.
I'll look at it.
Is this technically four and five?
This is the fifth pick.
My fifth pick. This is probably going to surprise many of you. I'm going to go comedy.
No, don't do it, please.
And I'm going to pick what I think to be one of the funniest movies.
Don't take my movie, please.
I've ever seen. And this is going to be even better if it really is on your list. 10 Things I Hate About You.
Oh, no, it's not. Okay.
Oh, all right.
Good movie, though.
So good.
Oh, my God. Good movie. That dad is hilarious.
Yes.
And Heath Ledger also. Just that might be the first movie I've saw Heath Ledger in, 10 Things I Hate About You.
And he's great.
He's amazing in it. He's great.
Yeah, there's Julia so Stiles. Much about there's so much about that movie to like.
Did Night's Tale come before or after that movie?
After.
Okay. Yeah. So that was in between that and Dark Knight.
That was in between Dark Knight?
Between Dark Knight and 10 Things I Hate About You was Night's Tale.
Oh, yeah.
Night's Tale was 01.
Okay.
Yeah. Up until I liked Heath Ledger, but I didn't really think of him as a serious actor until then. What Brokeback Mountain, when did that come out?
That was 05.
Yeah.
That was probably his first
big role.
Big dramatic, like serious role. Because Brothers Grimm was also 05.
That's goofy.
The Four Feathers, I think he was in that.
Never saw it.
Late 90s, early 2000s. He was in The Patriot.
He's in The Patriot?
Yeah.
He's Mel Gibson's son.
Oh, yeah, he is.
I just love the scene when the guy shows up to pick up. Was it Julia Stiles he's picking up for prom, or the Julia Stiles' little sister for prom?
Heath Ledger?
The other male model type dude. And he shows up to pick her up for prom. And
Zoolander?
Dad opens the door and just laughs. No. Shuts the door in the kid's face and walks away.
That dad is really funny now that I'm thinking about it.
Oh, my. The dad's like, they're going to go out on a date. And before they go out to the party, he makes them wear the pregnant suit. And they got to walk around the house. Please, Dad, not the pregnant suit or whatever they call it. What is that actor's name? You guys know.
That's not JGL, is it?
Well, that's the kid. No, yeah. The dad is Larry Miller.
Yes, there we go.
He's best friends with Miller's Seinfeld.
Fantastic in there.
Yeah.
He opens for Seinfeld quite a bit and did a lot back in the day.
Yeah, and Larry Miller's funny in a variety of shows, but I love him as the dad in that film.
Would you say you've modeled your kind of parenting style after him?
More probably Benito Mussolini style as dad.
He's trying to raise singers.
Just dad. Did I go too far?
It's a little bit of foreshadowing.
No, like the father of the country. You know?
Yeah, I get it. Yeah. Thank you.
I hope you don't end up strung up from a lamppost.
Me too, thanks.
We all have our hangups. Littell, you're up.
All right.
Are you going to pick
a
comedy now?
That.
I'm trying to. I got to nail this category because I know the movie, but I'm trying to strategize a little bit. So give me just like a second. All right. I'm going to pick Blockbuster. And I got to go with what my heart wants and what my heart knows it wants.
Star Wars Episode One, The Phantom Menace.
Almost. It's Toy Story 2.
Oh, ooh, nice.
Blockbuster. Yeah. In my opinion, I know Toy Story, the first one, is probably the funniest, but I think Toy Story 2 is the best movie out of all the Toy Stories.
Lies.
Over three?
You haven't seen three?
I love three. I think Toy Story 2 is better.
Wow. That's adorable.
I think it executes
and
what it wants to
do. And these are your 2 minutes, so I'm going to let you talk about it.
I would agree with him.
I think it has one of the most satisfying scenes in any movie when Woody is being refurbished and repaired. Like, perfection takes time, right? So many funny bits. Buzz, meeting Zurg, his father, makes me cry laugh every time.
It's amazing.
Like, it's so funny. Go long, son.
That's so silly.
I don't want to use my head. Also, the new characters are all so good. Like Jesse and Bullseye and the Prospector, fantastic additions.
That
Prospector,
is a good point. Yeah.
I mean, I would say either Prospector.
Kelsey Grammer makes a great villain.
Or what's the bear's name? Lonzo? In the third
Lotso.
Movie?
Lotso.
Right.
Either one of those for the best villain in the whole series. And I'm kind of leaning
the bear,
towards.
But it's close.
Yeah. I'm kind of leaning towards Prospector. Just like he's so conniving, right? Uh-huh. Like him just tearing up Woody again. It's like, no, we get through all this. Jesse's sideline story is so sad. Everything she went through with her person. What was her name? Her Andy?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Don't remember.
But that is a sad scene.
And the song that plays?
Yeah.
Like, song.
Oh my God. Yes.
Yeah, that's what sells it too. Like that, it just hits on every level.
But yeah, but still very funny. Still a lot of heart. And my favorite Toy Story movie. So, boom.
I'm surprised you didn't take that for comedy.
I got a comedy movie coming down the line.
That Stuart Little.
Yeah. If it's there,
we'll see.
All right, Arvin.
Okay. Where to go? So I took The Matrix as my Academy Award movie. Right?
Yep. Yes, you did.
Excellent. So I'm going to go with Blockbuster here as well, and I'm going to go ahead and take The Sixth Sense.
Ah, see, I didn't know if any of you were as big of a fan of that movie as I was.
Oh, I loved it. I feel like it is one of those events too. You know, like we talked about that a little bit before. Like it is one of those movies where you don't know the twist. You go in like, oh, I heard really good things about this. You go in and it's just like, I had no clue what was happening until that twist hits. And then you're like, what? Like, and then you go back and watch it again because of course you're going to, because that just blew my mind a little bit. And like, it all holds up. Like, it does an excellent job of, like, giving you clues along the way. And it was like, well, now I feel like an idiot.
To me, I imagine it's how people felt the first time they saw Psycho. It's like, that was our moment.
That was that moment in 1999. And I went and saw it in a theater. And then I went and saw it at the drive-through, like, or in the drive-in, rather. But it was just one of those things where you just wanted to experience it again and again. And I think it's 1999 is one of those years where it was that and the Blair Witch Project, where it was
just so huge.
If you didn't know anything about this movie going in,
yeah,
it became such an experience for you in a theater or a drive-in or wherever you happen to see that. And for me, The Sixth Sense was that movie because, like, I knew what the Blair Witch Project was before I went and saw it, so it didn't hit quite as much for me. But The Sixth Sense was just, holy crap. Like, it really blew my mind. And it's rare that you get one of those moments as an audience member where something just stands out like that.
Well, it's wild, too, that this happened in 1999 because we're kicking off a new millennium, and you've got movies that are going to really shape the landscape for the next few decades. I mean, we mentioned Fight Club and the twist, and I feel like there were a lot of copycats of Fight Club. Mm-hmm. There were a ton of copycats of The Sixth Sense. Everybody went to a movie thinking, okay, what's the twist in this one going to be?
Yeah.
And then you also have Blair Witch, like you said, mm-hmm. where you had the bridge from Blair Witch to Saw.
Yeah.
That set up, I mean, they're still kind of riding that wave of that's the new wave of horror
in this century. Movies became so huge.
Oh, yeah. Cloverfield and more. Yeah.
I mean, the writing is so impeccable. I mean, we even get like a reference in the new Kendrick Lamar song. Was it Not Like Us? Isn't that how he starts the song? I See Dead People.
Yeah. And that's one of those lines where it's like,
yeah.
Oh, okay, cool.
That means nothing.
It has no impact. Like, right. You see it in a trailer and you're like, okay. Great. I mean,
creepy kid.
That's creepy. Like, cool. Timothy. No, what's his name?
Macaulay Culkin.
Haley Joel
Osment. Macaulay Culkin.
Just every child actor ever.
That was Home Alone.
Where he had that line and you're just like, okay, that's creepy. Like, and he said it in kind of a creepy way. And then you see it in the film and you're like, oh, there's layers to that. Okay.
Which one blindsided you more? Fight Club or Sixth Sense when they did the reveal?
I'd say Sixth Sense for me.
I think Sixth Sense. It's close, but I would say Sixth Sense was probably the bigger reveal. But I love both of the films. I mean, they're both amazing. Like, that's what I would be taking here if you hadn't already taken it. Yeah. So, well done. But yeah, like that twist is just great. And then, you know, that's basically what M. Night Shyamalan has made a career on ever since. Like, everybody's just watching for him to have another twist like that, and it'll never happen again because now he's the guy that has the twist.
I don't know. Unbreakable is pretty good.
But that was so close that it's like, and that's also what established the pattern. Like, well, now he's got to have a twist. Like, after that, you're like, oh, what's going to happen in Signs? Maybe they're not aliens.
Signs was a good,
like,
ish twist.
You know?
Which one
hit
you
better?
It
was well acted. I guess the twist itself wasn't that crazy.
That's all. I think that's all Joaquin.
So I'll say Sixth Sense because I knew the Fight Club reveal going into it.
It had
been spoiled.
Too bad.
I didn't, and that blew my mind.
Yeah, if you watch 100%. That the first time and already know, that kind of sucks.
Yeah,
it takes away from a bunch of scenes. It really does. Like, I know you're just kind of talking to yourself, dude.
It's still enjoyable, but it's not even close to being as, oh my God, because you don't have that reveal. So for me, it was definitely The Sixth Sense, which I'm glad that wasn't ruined, but
yeah.
All right, I'm up, and quite a few great movies taken off the board. I feel like we should have kept you at one each time, Arvin, because one's not great.
it sucks, right? Like, I had that in the fantasy draft the other day, and it's like, all right, well, I'll just be waiting for a while, and then I'll make two picks, and then I'll be waiting for a long time, and here we are.
Wild Wild West.
Still now it's over.
Now, though.
Yeah, it's not bad. I definitely still have some titles that I really like.
Fortunately, it's a good year, I think, too. That helps.
You were right. I think you said it last week. Like, we're all going to be pretty happy with our lists, you know. I'm going to go with my blockbuster because, again, the blockbuster category was a little thin for me. And there were quite a few that overlapped. Like, blockbuster, they were also Oscar-nommed. I'm going to take World Is Not Enough for my blockbuster, the James Bond flick.
Yeah, garbage on the soundtrack.
Yes. Last Bond for Desmond Llewellyn, the Q, the old man.
Yeah.
Great R.I.P. villain. And Sophie, can't think of her last name. She's great as Electra King. Sophie Marceau.
Yes. I was going to say, it starts with an M, but I don't,
She was in Braveheart. She was in Lost and Found with David Spade, which I think came out in this year, but is not anywhere to be found on any list.
Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah. That's definitely a nostalgia pick because that came out when I was, 11 or 12, and I love James Bond, and that's just a really, really good one. So, and the rest of the blockbusters, there's just not anything that excites me, and I could take it in another category.
Didn't you take Royale last time around, too?
No, I did not. Me. Jeff Arvin did.
I did.
Arvin took it in the two
spot. And this was on my list, too, so thank you. Because I wanted to talk about Denise Richards as Christmas Jones. I mean, sorry, Dr.
Christmas Jones. I will say,
I always think of that Christmas line in Sean Connery's accent, and that's all I'm going to say about that, but really funny.
Also, Lock, Stock, that was the same year, so you had Robbie Coltrane as Valentin Sukovsky, and Robert Carlyle is the other villain,
yeah,
also from Lock, Stock. So.
You guys want to know a secret about me?
No, this that's is not a time to reveal secrets.
I have not seen any Bond movie before Pierce Brosnan.
So you've seen this one?
You've never seen any of the Sean Connery?
No.
You haven't seen anything with Sean Connery? Oh,
no.
Dear.
Jim. No Roger Moore, no nothing?
Nothing.
Huh.
But wow. Also, Sean Connery?
I've heard great things. I've seen clips of Sean Connery as Bond, but I've never seen a whole movie.
Like, I like Roger Moore as James Bond, but Sean Connery, James Bond, is some fun stuff. Yeah. I don't, all those movies, though, today, like, it's hard for it to stand up. Because
I was going
to
say, some of it seems a little hokey now.
Yeah.
I don't mind, like, campiness, though.
But it depends on, because they're each a different Bond.
Like personality-wise?
Oh, 100%.
Like, Sean Connery Bond, like, that dude could beat anybody up.
Everybody always sleeps on George Lazenby.
One, he's Australian. Two, he only did one. Actually,
I'm totally kidding. Although, on His Majesty's Secret Service is pretty great.
No, it is. That is funny, though, that I don't think any of them have been English that have played Bond.
What's Daniel?
I think isn't he Welsh?
Is he?
I think so.
I thought he was English.
If not, he'd be the first one.
They're all from the same island. It's the same thing.
Whoa.
He knew what he was starting when he said
that. And you can tell Sean Connery I said
that. You know, we have an Englishman teacher in the building that would love to hear you say that, I think.
I'll say it to his face. They don't scare me. I told you, until Lock, Stock, Two Smoking Barrels, I didn't even know they were capable of being, you know, part of the criminal underground. That accent just doesn't scare me.
For a history teacher, your worldview amazes me. Like, I love your scope.
Yeah, I wish they'd let me teach world history. I would change things.
You did. All right, anyway, you taught me
technically,
world history. That's true. That's true. Man. Sort of.
The 13 colonies were the biggest English criminal underground ever. Dumping the tea. Next, I'm going to make my Oscar pick, and I am going to take The Talented Mr. Ripley.
Good movie.
Nice. So Lemmy's going to be upset.
That's a great movie.
It is.
So, so good.
Making me cry.
As rewatchable as it gets, Philip Seymour Hoffman in a just unbelievable, terrible guy role.
Yeah.
Jude Law, Matt Damon.
He's
riding the wave of Good Will Hunting, but he's not born Damon yet, right. So he's still kind of...
He's sweet.
He's able to do different things. It's so good. It's a beautiful movie, too. I mean, it's gorgeous to watch.
You're talking cinematography?
Philip Seymour Hoffman plays rich, I guess, think of a different word.
Douchebag?
Okay. I never say that word. What I was going to... I was That's rich prick more... I mean,
yeah.
He is such an arrogant bastard. He almost, I mean, I didn't feel bad that he got his head crushed in.
Whoa, spoiler.
That's our pull quote for this episode. We already got it.
I did not feel bad. He deserved what he got. And I don't understand why Jude Law doesn't get more parts, like good parts in movies.
He's kind of typecast now as like a kind of action figure.
Yeah, I've always thought he was a really good actor who doesn't get many good roles. But that movie is so rewatchable.
The same issue that Hugh Grant ran into. He probably gets offered the same type of role over and over again that he's like, I don't want to play, you know, the guy with his character from The Holiday,
yeah.
You know, where he's the British good-looking guy, you know, the gentleman or whatever. All right, Arvin, back to you. Matrix is your Oscar. Blockbuster, Sixth Sense. Where are we going next?
That is a great question.
Let's say.
I have 17 seconds left.
Go ahead. What you got, brother?
I'm going to go with my comedy here. I'm going to go with Austin Powers.
And that's it?
Ooh.
Yeah.
Was that the one you wanted?
Yeah, that was one of them.
Was it?
It was one of the two that I was looking at.
It's excellent. Wow. Oh, my God. Like, super quotable, like, annoyingly so. Yeah. Like, became a total part of the lexicon. You have two amazing characters with Dr. Evil and Austin Powers. Right? And was he in that one?
I don't think so.
I think he was in the second one.
This is the second one,
isn't it?
This is The Spy Who Shagged Me. The first one was 97.
International Man of Mystery.
Yeah.
That's right. Sorry.
This is Heather Graham.
I'm misremembering. Heather Graham was fresh off of Boogie Nights, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So, good times there. and I just thought it was hilarious.
Is this the one with Dirty Bastard?
Fat Bastard.
Fat Bastard's in Gold.
He's in both.
He's in both.
In this one. Yeah. This is the first one with Rob Lowe because they go back in time for the first time.
Yeah, okay. I'm back.
Yeah. Just liked it. And it's also, you know, a hilarious version of James Bond.
So, I don't know if this is a hot take, but in my opinion, like, so far ahead, the best of the series.
I think so, too.
It's so good.
I think the first one, like, gets everything started, and then this one is, like, for me, this is the peak out of the Austin Power stuff, even with all the somewhat baggage, although I thought all that was hilarious at the time.
Does this have the scene where he's trying to get
$1 million
the vehicle to turn around in the hallway? Is that this movie?
No, I think that's the first one.
Okay.
Pretty sure that's the first one.
No. Oh, no, you're right. That is the first one.
I'm pretty sure that's the first one.
Because the guy's, like, afraid he's going to get crushed. Yeah. He's, like, way ahead of
him. Out of the way. Yeah.
But they has that. There's a love with just like everything. They do the bit again.
Yeah.
The one in, I think, that's true too. Gold member is he's like, get out of the way. He's in the Volkswagen Beetle and he punches it and it's in reverse. So he goes back. I mean, that's similar to the 23 point turn he has to take in that, whatever that vehicle is.
They all run together for me. But yeah. I just like the line. When he is looking at Fat Bastard, he's got more chins than a Chinese phone book. I love that line.
Cash has some work to do. Minutes.
That is not, okay. That's from the movie.
That one was at 33, that or 43.
Interesting, that's 56, the joke you remember the most. Cash.
Because when he said it, like, one more time, it took like 40. A second for it to process in my head, and I was like, oh my God, that's so damn funny. I don't,
it's like when you find out somebody's from Vietnam. Are you Chinese or Japanese?
he's Laotian.
Yeah. We are from Laos. We are Laotian. You're from the ocean. Littell, Fight Club is your Oscar. Toy Story 2 is your blockbuster. What do we got?
What?
I didn't realize it was my
turn. I do that all the time, too. Yeah.
Guys,
and you kind of make fun of me. And now here we
are. It's so easy. Yeah. I'm getting my comedy.
What is it?
American Pie.
Yeah,
I would have bet you $1 million Littell was going to pick this movie. Okay. Mm-hmm.
It's such a nostalgic movie for me because I saw it so many times in middle school and high school, college, and really, I mean, I watch it at least once a year.
How old were you still? When you first watched it?
So wait a minute, you were two?
I think the first time I saw it was maybe fourth or fifth grade. I was at a buddy's house. And
that's early. Like,
that is very early.
Well, we stayed up late to watch it because we weren't allowed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, dude. So many. Dude, something about is Eugene Levy, right? That's,
yes. That,
dude.
He's great.
I don't know what it is about him, but he can make anything awkward and make it so funny. Mm-hmm. Like them just sitting at the table looking at the pie.
I just, well, just tell your mother we ate it. That's a great.
Yep.
No other explanation would have been needed. Just tell your mother we ate it.
I also love Blink-182 has a really funny appearance in that movie multiple times when they're all watching him online.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And they play a song, Mutt, from their first big album, Enema of the State. And, like, that whole scene is just burned into my brain. Like, I can see it over and over and over again. Stifler?
Oh,
is there? I mean, before Sean he was William typecast Scott. As that character forever, mm-hmm. Holy cow, he made me laugh. Every line that came out of his mouth. And I think it was because there was a much better balance back then, whereas mm-hmm. like he really doesn't show up that often in that movie. Like it's really only a handful of times, which is great because he's so extreme and such a dude.
He gets played up so much more in the sequels too.
Yeah.
Because he's so popular.
That first one is just like the perfect amount.
And the fact that the fact that O'Hara is his mom and he bangs Stifler's mom. Amazing. Amazing. Like, some about like middle school me thought that was literally impossible, and then it happened, and I was like, wow, that dude literally.
I do think, it's kind of impossible that it went down that way, but yeah.
But no, I love that movie. It's such a good nostalgia flick. Like, it captures, I think, 1999 as a year better than almost any movie I've ever seen.
It makes me miss being 17 years old.
Like before
being out late with your friends, driving with the windows down, summer break, summer vacation. Like, it's the best.
Yeah, you see everybody hanging out, no phones. We're just chatting, drinking, having a good time. Like,
it's a very pure form of nostalgia.
Yes,
I think, too. Like, yeah, it really is. It's another one of those movies that really captures the era that it was created in, and just like when you see it, it kind of brings you back to that. I think it does a great job of that.
Which is why I like watching it so often. It's like, man, this was literally life back then.
I think you're winning for best soundtrack so far. You really
that
are.
That is, yeah.
That's all a right. category?
It is.
It will be.
Now.
Salemi, you're up. Wait, two in a row.
Hey, you didn't even bring up Bandcamp. Like, that's the...
That's not this movie, though.
American Pie?
Well, that's in the series, but that's not this movie. Are you just in general that Bandcamp?
Yeah. Right, the line that gets played. What do you mean it's not in this
movie? One time at Bandcamp's not in
this
movie?
I don't think we can say that. Can we say that line in this
movie? No, we're not.
No, she's not going to say the whole thing.
We're not going to say the line. Just how it kept coming up throughout it. Yeah. And then when she finally finished the sentence.
At Bandcamp? Yeah.
Right, like, because
I thought you were talking about the movie American Pie Bandcamp.
No, no,
but no. That line is hilarious.
Right.
Yeah.
No one is talking about American Pie Bandcamp.
No.
No one. Ever.
Or Dorm Days or whatever else they have.
Make a Mile.
spinoffs of that thing?
So many.
There were three like core movies, Wedding, right? And then Reunion. Reunion.
Yeah.
American so Reunion. Two, American yeah, Wedding.
Wedding and then
that's
Reunion.
That's right. Wedding, yeah. Reunion.
Two is basically just the first movie again.
Yeah.
It's cute.
All right. I'm going to do Misunderstood because there are so few. Actually, no, I could wait, I guess. I'm going to wait on that.
I love that we really get like a full insight into your entire thought process with
yeah,
this.
Yeah, well, both of my Oscars were taken, jerks.
What were they?
Talented Mr. Ripley and Fight Club. That's the only two movies I wrote down for Oscar. So
I feel like there should be another one, but I don't want to help you.
I got to go back and look at your gold bars that you put on here now. Mommy, dang it. That's going to screw me up. So for Oscar and Blockbuster, I think is what I'm going to do back to back here.
Probably a good move.
Yeah. I'm going to go with, it really doesn't matter which one. I could take either one of these, so it doesn't matter. But I guess for Oscar, I'll go with Green Mile.
Long movie, but it doesn't feel as long as it is.
Anytime it's on, wherever it's at in the movie, I can just pick it up and start watching. And yeah, it never bothers me. And the one guard is just so annoying. What is his?
What is
that actor's name?
Is that Ron Perlman? No, is that? What is that guy's name?
Like when he...
Doug Hutchison?
Is that?
I'm pretty sure that's the actor's name.
Really, really like that movie. A lot, and Sam Rockwell is really good in the film. Obviously, Tom Hanks is good in the film. There's just all sorts of elements.
I cry every time when he dies.
Yeah, it's tragic, and the movie's funny too at times.
I love Michael Jeter, the guy from Evening Shade. He's got the one with the mouse.
Oh yeah.
He's so great. He's a great character actor. Something about Stephen King prison.
Right,
movies.
I was just about to say Stephen King short stories turn into movies to do well
that are super watchable. Shawshank and Green Mile. If it's on, I'm watching.
Yeah, same.
It's crazy 100%. That it was a short story. So
it wasn't a short story. It was a serial. They released it. He released it one at a time. And I believe it was like a set of 10 that added up to an entire novel.
I didn't know that. Interesting.
Yeah. Okay.
And Blockbuster, I'm going to go with one of my favorite all-time films that has no reason to be good at all, but it is, and I don't even think he's a good actor, but man, does he do this role really well. The Mummy. Brendan Fraser.
Man, I was kidding, but it is a great movie.
It is great.
It's a fun action film. It's just pure entertainment. There's no thinking. There's no deep thought. It's just old-fashioned fun at the movies is what that movie is.
There are two scenes from that movie that stick with me. One is when the guy is trying to run away from him after trying to steal papers, and he just throws a chair at him. Just shatters the chair on this man's back.
Yeah.
And also the scarab scene.
Under the skin.
Yeah.
I always have to look away.
Mm-hmm.
When it gets like right up here,
I can't watch. Well, how about just when they swarm?
Benny.
Yeah, poor Benny.
As the torch slowly starts to go out, and they get closer and closer. He's a fun guy to hate in that film too.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Super hateable villain. It's kind of like what's his name in Gladiator?
Oh, the Emperor.
We were just talking about him.
Joaquin Phoenix.
Yeah.
Commodus.
Yeah, but he's more. He's like even more duplicitous.
I'd like to take just a second to share one of the things that I'm proudest of my niece for. It's her bumper sticker. Honk if you'd rather be watching the 1999 cinematic masterpiece, The Mummy, starring Brendan Fraser and Rachel Weisz. I just drove up to the house one time and saw her Honda Civic sitting there with that on it, and I was like,
"That is a great honk bumper sticker like, to
just
purchase."
Well done. Yeah. So yeah, The Mummy is a great movie.
Great. Well done.
I had that pegged for Arvin.
Oh, it was on my list. It was high on my list. Yeah.
Littell, you're up.
Man, I feel like I've gotten all the movies I wanted.
You pick three.
You can just be like, I'm done.
These are a good three. Okay.
What a great year.
I'll take my...
I've got three movies and I'm done.
I'll take my... This Trey. Tarzan movie at the top. Is this the animated Tarzan?
Yes.
And I'm taking that. So I'm taking Disney. That movie for my... we'll call that my drama.
Yeah, Phil Collins. You really are building
the best
soundtrack.
Why don't you just call it action?
Yeah, it's more action than drama.
Okay, both. It's, I mean, you get some parents dying.
What
and
is
stuff.
The drama?
Are you doing this for the
they
soundtrack?
Kill his parents
he
at the beginning of the movie.
For the soundtrack.
Oh, my. Yeah, it's that's not like, it's not
you
like
see
like
a man
movie.
Hanging by the end of the film.
It's not like Lion King. Oh, yeah, they do that.
They show his silhouette.
Yeah.
What a good way to go, too.
The Lion King's... I've death never seen scene it. Is worse than Tarzan.
Save it for the 94 episode.
I apologize. All right. So, Tarzan, you really liked it.
Fantastic soundtrack. I could argue top three Disney soundtracks ever.
Definitely.
Yeah. I mean, the soundtrack honestly does a lot for that. Well, there's a lot of scenes.
So, he is drafting for the music.
Right? Okay, this is
he really had a great
studs, and you picked great. It because of the soundtrack.
Almost. Yeah. I mean, okay. It's a very, I mean, it's a simple plot.
I mean, no, I think Genesis movie. Did a great job on that
Genesis.
Soundtrack.
Genesis.
All Genesis. Of them. Come on, man. You can get a ticket stub to a concert instead of a movie. It kind of fits.
You can. I have all my ticket stubs left over for movies.
Really cool animation. That was the first time they were really messing around with what's that called? Where they're going in and out of the scene. You guys know.
Transition?
No, not transition. So the way they had it modeled was they had it all modeled digitally, and then they were able to kind of hand draw certain parts and like
you're talking about the part
them.
Where he's like surfing
yeah,
through,
where he's
the
through the
trees and all that
yeah
gotcha I know I understand what you're saying they're meshing
yeah they're the, kind of combining them the two styles
yeah I gotcha yeah because some of it is hand drawn old school and then some of it is more of the
digitalized
the yeah. digital yeah
yeah
just
yeah.
say you're taking it for the soundtrack man.
The soundtrack is top tier and
it
I
is really good
two songs uh-huh. from that movie I would say once a week. Not all of them, but like certain songs, yeah.
Who's the actress that plays the monkey that's his best friend? She's hated by like the Republican Conservative Party.
You're going to have to be more
Oprah
specific.
Oprah Winfrey, I don't know.
No.
Any
come
driver.
On.
Gwyneth Paltrow, actually.
No. She plays, she's the voice for the, his best friend, one of the monkeys,
Kate
one
Upton.
Of the gorillas.
Yeah.
Not Kate Upton, give me a break.
Rosie O'Donnell.
There we go, thank you, Rosie O'Donnell. Am I wrong? I thought she was pretty much despised by the Republican.
I think she's despised by everybody.
By everybody.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't think anyone
she's a
likes
bad person.
Those koosh balls don't really get know. People on board anymore.
Huh.
Arvin, action thriller drama, misunderstood, wild card, you're up.
All right. This time around, I can make a case for lots of other stuff. So I'm actually going to go ahead and go with Misunderstood.
Please don't. Please don't. Please,
and I am going to pick Entrapment.
Oh, I had that down.
Did you?
Yeah.
I love that movie, and it has a 40% on Rotten Tomatoes. And, yeah, I mean, it's Sean Connery, first of all.
Rough
I mean,
end of his career. A lot of misses.
There were some fun things he did in there. I would argue that this and, like, Finding Forrester were fun.
No, that's true. It's better than the Avengers
but like,
and League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Right.
Pretty bad.
Those were rough. Those were rough. And, oh, my, what's the last cartoon that he did? Like, oh, I saw it. I don't remember it. It's terrible. It was like 2004 or something like that. And it is awful. Yeah, it was a sad end
who was
to
this?
That.
Sean Connery did a cartoon?
Yeah.
Flushed
it's like
away.
A 2000. No.
It was a cartoon or an animated movie?
I think it was an animated movie.
Oh.
But I mean, it was a cartoon, you know, whatever.
Flushed Away, what a bad guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. Settling.
I'll look it up. I'll look it up.
When it's not my turn, I'm going to look it up. Entrapment about?
But Entrapment is, I'm glad you asked.
But I'm not positive.
It's Catherine Zeta-Jones, which I loved her in The Phantom, and then was like, oh, this lady's going to be a star. And then she made Entrapment, and I was like, I was right. She's great. And I just really liked Catherine Zeta-Jones a lot.
This is enough when they steal that stuff, right?
But this is, yeah, her like learning from he's like a master thief, and she decides that she's going to become a thief as well, and it's just it's a fun time. They're like stealing some paintings
and
art thieves and stuff like that. It's fun.
Pretty good.
It's fun. It's one of those Sean Connery movies that like he could have just like phoned it in and been like, I'm here for a paycheck, but he doesn't, and it's not terrible. Which
this is
at that point in Sean Connery's career was like great.
Yeah.
So
is this the one where there's a scene where all the lasers are, and she's got
to navigate through it. And they're like, they have like their like training course montage thing.
Yeah. Okay.
That's the movie for me. Like, that was the best part. Have you watched Workaholics?
Yeah.
When they do the Gregorian chant, Catherine Zeta-Jones, she dips beneath lasers. Oh.
Yeah, 100%.
Love that scene. Yep. Oh, so good.
Yeah.
All right. I didn't realize it was so poorly thought of.
I didn't think so either. And then I looked it up and I was like, okay, cool. Yeah. The only other, I was very excited to take Boondock Saints here. And then I realized that it came out in 2000.
Yay. You know, I saw them on a list for 1999. Yeah. I did not like that movie.
Yeah. It has a 15% on Rotten Tomatoes.
What's
so,
crazy is
the audience
so
score, though,
many
is a 91%.
Which one is this?
Yeah, there we go. Saints.
Oh yeah,
we'll save it for the 2000. Yeah, it's crazy.
The only I haven't misunderstood that. I'm
a
only
bigger
worried
chasm.
He might take. Otherwise, I think I'm pretty good.
Yeah, there you go.
All right,
I got a fallback plan just in case he does snake it from me.
So is he first or fourth?
He's first.
First.
Okay.
I'm up.
Yeah, you're up. Let's hear it.
I've got action thriller drama misunderstood and wild card left. I'm going to go with my action thriller drama, and I am going to take Cruel Intentions.
Ooh. Nice.
That is an action
film. Nice.
Cruel Intentions. What does that get on Rotten Tomatoes?
New segment. Guess the score. I'll say 62%.
I'm going to go with 51.
That's like $1 on Price is Right.
Let's tell any guesses.
52.
53. Ooh, close.
Thank you.
Right there.
53 with an 80 on the audience score.
All right. Let's hear it. I like it. I just don't, I don't know. I've never thought of it as a really good movie.
It's got a lot of great characters.
Yeah, there's people to hate.
They're awful people.
Yeah.
But they're good to look at. And it's just, it's definitely one of those movies. It's kind of like American Pie, where you're immediately transported to 1999 when you watch it. You know, with the clothing and the cars and how they act. Because it's based on, I mean, it's essentially Dangerous Liaisons, which was whatever the French title of that is. Sarah Michelle Gellar at the height of her powers. Ryan Phillippe and Reese Witherspoon, first time they really probably hit something mega. Selma Blair plays an idiot, and she's really funny in that role, just trying to fit in. I don't know. The music, the intrigue, the entire atmosphere of the movie, very nostalgic pick for me. And I really didn't have a ton of other action thriller dramas for this year that weren't already going to be taken by one of you guys or from another category. I did rewatch Varsity Blues recently.
Varsity Blues.
Definitely could take, because I think that counts as action because it's football, even though it's a comedy, basically.
I think you could take it there.
Did you ever watch Blue Mountain State?
No, but I've heard it's really, really good.
I won't say anything. But if you like that movie, you'd like that show a lot.
But Cruel Intentions, easy pick for me for the drama.
Don't they do this whole thing that they get Selma Blair to fall for her piano teacher?
Yes.
Like do they manipulate both of them into that relationship? And it was all just to get the mom angry because the mom had done something to one of them.
They literally just love screwing with people's lives. It's just to mess with people and manipulate them.
But I thought the mom had like done something either to Ryan Phillippe or Sarah Michelle Gellar. And they were like, I'm going to get her for that.
I don't remember.
But maybe I'm wrong.
What'd you find, Arvin?
So the Varsity Blues tomato meter, 45%.
So I would take it from
I wouldn't even findings. Have like thought it would be that low. But yeah, like legitimately 45%, 76% audience score.
So it's really not a good movie. Like, it's bad. But
Varsity Blues?
Yeah, but it's dumb fun.
It is.
Sure.
It's dumb fun.
I do want to punch James Vanderbeek half the time.
Sure.
When he, with I don't accent.
Want He's your life. Face anyway.
No, I want to punch John Voight. You talk about a prick of a coach, man. He was the worst.
John Voight plays such a horrible. Like
you're just rooting for like
people.
Heart disease by the end of that. Like,
how did they?
He's the worst.
Rope him into that movie though.
I don't know, but he's great.
Like his agent must have said, "Here's the check. Look at how much they're going
to
pay you.
Look at these zeros
now." They want to talk to you about this movie. Go
There's
ahead.
Five of them, John. Okay. Five zeros.
when but did then the first... again, he was in Anaconda, too, so what the hell?
When did the first Mission Impossible come out?
96.
96, yeah.
So, okay, so coming off of that.
The late 90s, he had a ride there. I mean, there was a lot of different stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm up. I've still got Misunderstood and Wild Card.
Man. Call John Voight. See what he's up to.
Get him in here, please. I'm going to go Wild Card here. I'm going to save my Misunderstood for last.
Thank you.
Some good picks here. I really want to take Man on the Moon, Jim Carrey, but my wild card, really? I'm going to go.
Oh, man.
Another Brendan Fraser, Blast from the Past.
Nice. Yay.
He's in Dudley Do-Right. I'm glad I got picked. Right?
Yeah.
Like that was 1990. Yeah, when
you
killing it.
When you release killing George of the Jungle, man. You're put in everything.
you put that from your wild card?
Yeah.
Okay.
Was George of the Jungle out yet? When did it come out?
97.
97. Good Lord.
That's. I'm
Watch out for that tree.
But Blast from the Past, such an underrated comedy. Alicia Silverstone.
Yeah.
Christopher Walken and Sissy Spacek as the parents down in the bomb shelter.
Christopher Walken's so funny as that role.
Yes.
And probably the best out of all that. It's so great. And the best character, I think, is probably Dave Foley as her gay best friend.
Oh, God. I forgot about Yes, dude. Yeah.
When he won't leave them alone. She's like, why don't you go to the bathroom? He's like, what, right here? It's just so... It's just so great because the earnestness that Brendan Fraser plays it,
yes,
is perfectly foiled by her. Just it's the 90s, everything sucks, just grunge. She's a horrible person, and the whole Adam and Eve thing. I just love that movie.
Yeah, he's so good at being an authentic personality in a film.
Yeah, and I think that's because he is. His whole renaissance over the last year from The Whale, or the last couple years from The Whale, people are like, oh, yeah, Brendan Fraser's awesome. He's like, he's a great guy. And you can kind of see that in his roles from the past.
Yeah.
Has he picked up any other movies since The Whale? I know he got all that acclaim.
Killers of the Flower Moon.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
And then he's got another one. I can't remember what it is now, but he's got another one coming up. It's like another big director. He's like a part of
Looney Tunes back again in action.
Dude, once again, we'll watch the movie.
Huh?
You've seen School Ties.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Great movie.
And there's another one similar to that where he's in college. I know, because School Ties is him getting ready to go to college.
Encino Man?
No.
Airheads?
No.
Encino Man.
And Patrick Dempsey's in the film.
The Naked Mile.
And...
Curious George.
Oh, my God. The actor in Goodfellas.
Ray Liotta?
No. The other one, the crazy one. I'm just drawing a blank right now. I apologize, everyone. It's
the same crazy one we were talking about the other time.
So you think I'm funny? Funny how?
Yeah.
Glory Days?
My cousin Vinny.
Is that it?
What's his name?
Let me see.
Oh, he's in The Scout with Joe Pesci.
Joe Pesci is his name.
Joe Pesci.
Yeah. Okay, that is not the movie, though.
Ben Affleck, Sam Rockwell, French Stewart.
No.
No, but that looks like a good cast.
Yeah, that does. There's another one with Joe Pesci.
With Honors?
Casino.
There we go, With Honors.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I remember this now.
Yeah.
It's also Joe Pesci in that one as well.
Yeah.
So not son-in-law.
No.
Not son-in-law.
Gore Vidal is in this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
All right.
All right.
So, yeah, Brendan Fraser, Memory Lane. Sorry.
Okay. Arvin, back to you.
That's good. Okay, so I'm going to go with my action drama thriller. And I'm taking The Iron Giant.
Oh, dang it. I thought no one was going to take it. I love that movie.
I was only worried about you. So that's why I'm
taking
so
it.
I had
him
on for my wild card.
Oh, I love that movie so much. It's so good. And I'm taking it as a drama because, oh, man.
Oh, I cry every time I watch it.
Seriously, I cry every single time I watch that movie. It's so good.
I had it in the bag.
Oh, I mean, I'm so sorry. I keep stealing from you.
That's okay. It's a great movie.
It is. It's such a good movie. And it's just, it's very rewatchable. It's got all the things like that you want in an animated film. So, yeah.
I love that scene where the farmer or whatever is like driving by him in the road. He's like, you're in the middle of the road. Hey. Yeah. You're in the middle of the road. Yeah. Oh. Okay.
Yeah. And Vin Diesel, right? I mean,
as the Iron Giant.
As the Iron Giant.
Really precursor to Groot activity.
Very true.
Yeah.
Very true.
The actor who plays Hogarth, is he anyone? I don't know. I remember Vin Diesel and Harry Connick, but
right.
the voice for Hogarth, is he a name?
I don't know. The general, is that?
You would think we.
It Eli
would,
Marenthal?
I was going to say, if you guys have to look it up, then no.
He was Stifler's brother in American Pie.
Oh! Yeah. Yes, he was.
Yeah. And Jennifer Aniston.
Yeah, Jennifer Aniston.
Cloris Leachman, Christopher McDonald, John Mahoney, M. Emmett Walsh.
Yeah.
Man.
It's got a great voice cast.
So it's kind of crazy that Hogarth is nothing against Stifler's little brother, a nobody.
Pretty much.
Yeah. I hope he never listens to this podcast.
He's our only.
You have achieved more than me in cinema. I apologize.
Well, he was also in Confessions of a Teenage Drama Queen.
Oh, there we go.
In 2004.
But Iron Giant, like, when you went to what, did you see it in the theater or did you just watch it?
I saw it in the theater first time, yeah.
Nice.
Did you at any point when you were going to the movie think to yourself, this is going to be emotional?
No.
Not at all.
Not at all. I was like, oh, it's a sci-fi. It's going to be like, you know, it's fun. It's a cartoon, etc. Yeah. Nothing at all. I had no preparation for what I was about to see.
We read the book when it came out.
Oh, really?
Like I was in fourth or fifth grade that it's based on. And we read that.
There's a lot of books.
It's a biting. Is the book just called The Iron Giant 2?
Yep.
Okay.
It is a biting commentary on... like Cold War USA as well, too.
Mm-hmm.
Ted, what are you saying over there, Pinko?
Never mind. I'm getting my car feed right now.
There was literally the biting commentary thing that it says on Rotten Tomatoes is, in this animated adaption of Ted Hughes' Cold War fable, like,
there was us
and, you just
and
got
them, my friend. I always thought it was sort of E.T.-esque.
Yeah, it is kind of.
Like, there's storylines that
also
are
another biting commentary on the U.S.
being number one.
That's why the aliens came here.
So exactly. Good. That's why they keep coming here.
Not
that's
Russia.
Why they landed in USA.
You didn't see them landing in the poor Soviet Union.
Littell, you are up.
I'm going to pick my wild card first, and then I will meander around and find
that means I'm going to get to pick one of two of my misunderstood. I'm so happy. So I'm going to get one of them.
You know?
No, I don't.
I'm so torn. I'm so torn between two movies.
Rip Torn?
Rip Torn, yeah.
Let's hear it. What are the two that you're picking from? Let's hear them.
Okay.
Natalie Imbruglia style.
That's a cute little bit that we're bringing back. I'm torn... currently between the first Pokemon movie.
Right? First Pokemon movie.
And being John Malkovich.
Doesn't it have Ryan Reynolds in it?
That's Detective Pikachu.
Pikachu.
Yeah. Yeah.
Came out about 20 years later.
That's a fun movie.
The same to me.
Oh, man. EdTV is up there, too. I don't know.
So the first Pokemon, or what was the other one?
Being John Malkovich.
And you're picking this for what? Wild card?
Misunderstood.
Oh, misunderstood.
Or, I mean, wild card. Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
He's got to look. He still has to look up his.
You know what? I got an
assignment.
This is going to be my third animated movie, but I'm going with Pokemon, the first movie.
It's like doing the podcast with a 5-year-old.
That's not going to help you with your soundtracks, though, right?
Gotta catch them all. Pretty good.
Say, dude. The 2000 version is pretty awesome.
Pokemon for misunderstood.
For wild card.
Wild have
card.
You seen the? Have any of you seen the first Pokemon movie?
No.
How many Pokemon movies are there?
17.
There's a lot. But this was, I mean, this is the movie.
I just wanted to be right on how many I could say I never saw.
It's high.
It's a lot.
It's very high.
This is
because your predilections towards Japanese animation.
Right.
You have either seen this as a kid and love it, or you've never seen it and don't care. But I saw it as a kid, and it blew my mind. And I cried really, really, really hard at the end.
And we're still talking about Pokemon, not Iron Giant.
We're still talking about Pokemon.
Okay.
There is a scene in that movie, and I feel like I can spoil this.
Is it the one where Ash says, I choose you?
Yeah.
Oh, dude.
That's from Evil Dead.
That got me, too.
yeah. But no, Ash is basically killed in the movie, but then is brought back a little bit later. But no, you watch Ash Ketchum die.
That 10-year-old listening to this is really upset.
Boy.
I'm being serious here because I don't understand. It's a card game, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
So then how do these characters like have any story?
Writers.
Yeah. Well, so they made up these characters.
Yep.
These aren't real people.
I get that. What I'm trying to, I guess,
it's not a documentary.
I apologize.
It's not a biopic.
I asked my question incorrectly. The card game.
The card.
Do these things have backstories? Do they have
in
a
the card
story
game?
In the card game?
I mean, they're given lore.
Like the creatures.
Is there a book that goes along with this?
A TV show.
Pokedex.
What came first, the TV show or the cards?
The cards.
Cards.
Okay, yeah. and then the TV show.
Massive.
Yeah. Right, and then it morphed into this movie.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I mean, the wave of Pokemon. You were a kid, too, when that was popping off.
Like, huge.
There's other than maybe Yu-Gi-Oh, but not even Yu-Gi-Oh could
Even my
compare.
Brother, like, yeah, he really wanted to get into Pokemon, but it was too expensive by that point, so Yu-Gi-Oh was the way. Yeah.
It was like going to get baseball or basketball or football cards.
Yeah,
literally. Oh,
yeah.
It was trading cards.
Yeah, and that's, this is, like, for us, this
what?
Is their
No,
that.
It's not like
no,
that
no,
at
it
all.
Is.
No, but it really was.
Is.
Like, it legitimately was, because my brother did that, and I was like, go get some basketball or football cards, because that's what I was into.
You'd have a binder of plastic.
Yeah.
100%. I had mine of like football and basketball and baseball cards, right. And he had Pokemon cards. 100%.
I knew people had them.
And then there were like chase versions of it where they were like, oh, this one has a holographic like edging to it. And that means it's worth hundreds of dollars.
From
like,
years,
legitimately.
From years like 5 to 8 years old, that's all I wanted for Christmas was Transformers and Pokemon cards.
You know, Pokemon's illegal in Iran?
As it should be. It's heretical.
It's heretical.
It's heretical.
Some heathen stuff.
It is, yeah. All right.
So let me, you got two back-to-back to complete Misunderstood and Wildcard.
So for Misunderstood, I am going to take Flawless with Philip Seymour Hoffman and Robert De Niro. And I was shocked to find out that its Rotten Tomato score was in the high 30s, low 40s percentile.
This is where they dress and drag.
This is where Philip Seymour Hoffman dresses in drag, and to get his speech back, his therapist tells him he should take singing lessons. And in the same apartment complex is Philip Seymour Hoffman, a drag queen, who gives him singing lessons. And prior to this, he had been very much anti-Philip Seymour Hoffman character, yelling very poor words at them, words that we don't use in society anymore. So yeah, and they become friends, and Philip Seymour Hoffman demonstrates that he is quite an actor. I'm shocked at how bad. The only thing I can think of as to why it's so poorly rated is Robert De Niro playing someone recovering from a stroke and a speech impediment. It is sort of out of his range of acting.
Oh,
he doesn't do vulnerable well.
And I wouldn't say Joel Schumacher's the best director in the world.
Well, to be fair, Salimi didn't know that.
No, I did not. I wouldn't have known who.
That dude makes some horrible movies.
But you are
correct.
Say, Schumacher. He made The Lost Boys. That was probably one of his only good ones.
I think it's his best movie.
Although, I did like Batman Forever, the Val Kilmer one. But he did Batman and Robin, so that's pretty irredeemable.
Yeah.
Has anyone...
There's parts of Forever
Flawless,
that are okay,
right?
But man.
It's been a long... This is one of those that you told me about.
Right.
I think I might have still been in school. Have not seen it since I watched it probably 15 years ago.
Have you guys ever seen Flawless?
No.
Never even heard of it.
Just for Philip Seymour Hoffman's ability, it's worth watching.
Mm. I'll watch it.
He is fantastic.
He is over the top gay. Like it is, and he's so damn funny. Him and his... drag queen posse. It that alone is worth it.
His range is insane.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just.
Oh, yeah.
I would argue
so
he's like maybe the top three actors of all time for me. I don't know that I've ever seen him be bad in a movie ever. Like, I think he commits everything to every role he's given, and he always amazes me. And his best movies, some of my favorite movies ever. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen him in Nobody's Fool?
Yes.
With Paul Newman? And he's the cop.
I remember him seeing him as
so funny.
Him as Capote, I think, is still probably my favorite thing I've ever seen. It's amazing how much he dedicates to a role.
Yeah, we were just talking about how hard that is to watch, though, because
He does such voice. A good job. I'm like, I can't listen to this for 2 hours.
But he's so good.
And it's ruined, like, every other interpretation of Truman Capote, too. Yeah. Like, everything is compared to him, and it's like, why? Just stop. Mm-hmm.
My other misunderstood movie I was going to take, if Flawless was taken from me, is 13th Warrior with Antonio Banderas.
Nice.
I thought you were going to take that for your wild card, but you're not.
No. Because there's another film on here for Wild Card that I did not know came out in 1999, and I love this movie, even though the guy sucks as a human being that we found out. The movie is Payback with Mel Gibson.
Oh, yeah.
Mel Gibson.
Great Wild Card.
I like that movie. Payback. That is good. So much fun. He's telling his bodyguard to hold up the alligator luggage, and he keeps shooting it. That scene is just so damn funny. And the amount of money he wants back, what is it, like 50 grand? Yeah, or like, mm-hmm. And they're like, I'll give you 50 grand. This is about 50 grand? It's not about the money. What do you mean it's not about the money?
That is one where it is an enjoyable movie, but I remember thinking the trailer makes it look like it's going to be so much better than it is.
Yeah.
Like the cigarette flick, yes. And you're like, oh, this is going to be great. And then you watch and you're like, it's not bad, but it's kind of...
That's cool, well, I guess.
It's funnier than what I thought it was going to be.
Oh, yeah. It's like it's not taking itself seriously.
Right.
If it did, it'd be a horrible movie.
Who's the actress who plays the dominatrix?
Lucy Liu?
Is it Lucy Liu?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's her.
I was going to say that, but I didn't want to get yelled at for being racist or something, so I held off. But okay,
we don't usually yell,
Lucy
we
Liu.
Just edit.
Yeah, I mean, everything gets misconstrued. But she's hilarious in the film. The movie's just really good. Like, when he finally kills the guy who stabbed him in the back to begin with, that set everything in motion. And he's like, he thinks they're going to make up, and he gives him a cigarette, and are you good? Yeah, I'm good. And then he puts the pillow over his head, and boom. Like, he thinks everything's good, and they're going to go out together. He's like, nah, you're dead. But yeah, I like Payback.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Oh, that's a great, yeah. That's a good choice.
So did you feel good being in that 4 spot?
I do, because I got to do...
Was on point.
Yeah.
Right, the only thing that's...
This is by far the best you've done.
Well, but I did lose Talented Mr. Ripley. Like, that's the only thing. But
and we did say we were all going to enjoy our list because it's 1999 and there's so many good movies.
I don't know what I would take off to put Talented Mr. Ripley because it either have to be Green Mile or The Mummy. But otherwise,
yeah.
I'm happy.
Littell, yeah. Misunderstood.
Why don't we just hit pause? It's easier than having to edit all the time.
No, it's easy to find.
Oh, you're torn again.
Yeah. There's two real obvious choices for me.
If you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball.
Talk it out. Just go ahead and throw them both out there.
This is misunderstood, right?
I can't talk about it because it's that.
No, it's your pick. You can. You literally can talk about it.
I'm going with The Phantom Menace as my misunderstood movie.
I didn't have to take it.
Wait a minute. Is it below 50 on Rotten Tomatoes?
It's like 52.
Well, then you can't take it.
I can't.
It's got to be below 50.
Someone picked something with 50 something.
I know.
I did not. What did I do?
I thought it was in the first podcast.
I don't know.
I don't remember what I picked.
Sure. I will be a law-abiding citizen, and I will go with Big Daddy.
Okay.
That's below 50?
Yeah. Yes.
Dang.
Well, it's a Sandler. That one's fairly, Sandler doesn't get love from the critics.
That one's fairly far below, isn't it?
Yeah. It's like 30 something.
Yeah.
And it's one of his better ones. It's actually pretty
that
good.
Movie a lot.
It's and he's funny. Like so emotional in it. Yeah. Like he connects with the kid and like you can actually see him growing as a person.
I liked that movie so much that I was going to name my first son Julian. And then my mom stole that name and named my brother Julian. That's a real story.
Thanks a lot.
I believe
mom.
You. Wow. I can see the pain.
I think it's such a... That movie has so much heart in it, and I think it's one of Adam Sandler's better acting movies, period.
Oh, it's the first time I think he actually acted.
Yeah, it was good. Like, I don't understand the hate that the critics gave that movie.
Every one of his movies before that was just like, I'm going to be the funny guy. Listen to his voice. And then, like, Big Daddy's like, it's funny.
It's sweet.
But it's
funny.
Also sweet and endearing, and it's great.
When they take Julian away from him, like, dude, my heart aches.
Oh, yeah, that hurts, right? Absolutely. I love the part where they go to the park and they're like tripping the rollerbladers.
They're just throwing stuff at the sidewalk. That's so good.
And Julian starts doing it. He's just like, you can see Adam Sandler's like, oh, this kid gets it. Okay. He's like,
Rob Schneider's not annoying in that movie either.
No.
Like, pretty good side character in the movie.
Which is impressive because he also came out with Deuce Bigalow Male Gigolo that year, too, and boy.
I've still got Misunderstood left,
Gigolo.
So...
Oh, dude, I'm so sorry. My bad.
But no, I think it kind of sent Adam Sandler down a path where he could act in more dramatic things, and we get stuff like Uncut Gems and Hustlers and
Spanglish.
It's just a few years later. He did Punch Drunk Love.
Yeah, I love Punch. You don't like that movie though, do you?
I like it. I don't love it as a PTA fan and a PSH fan.
I enjoy that movie a lot.
Yeah, no, it's good. I didn't love it as much as I thought I was going to. That was the thing. I went in with really high expectations. I was like, no, it's good. Yeah,
no, Big Daddy, Young Frankenstein, one of my
I think you've only drafted rotten movies, though. Like, he did Dreamcatcher and Hoodwinked. I think they're both rotten.
No, those are rotten. You're right. Yeah. Somebody else did. Maybe it was me.
I was talking about, I thought someone today drafted a Misunderstood that was above 50.
Flawless is bad.
Entrapment was 40.
Yeah. Which is crazy because there were a lot of contenders that I thought were going to be rotten, but they were right on the edge.
Yeah,
like you mentioned, EdTV, Dogma. I was like, surely one of those is rotten because I'll take it as a Misunderstood because I love them.
Well, and they technically are rotten because rotten's below 60%, but we said 50.
Oh, is that what it is?
Maybe that's what's happening.
Yeah, so like you still get the little splat.
Because I say
it's
Phantom
like
52%
or whatever.
So yeah. Phantom Menace is
Phantom
rotten.
Phantom Menace is there. It's a rotten movie.
All right, next
but it's
time
52%.
Around, we'll change the rules. We'll go 55. Everything below 55.
Split the difference.
High school, 59.5.
I can drive
55.
55% and below.
Okay.
All right. Fair. Arvin, wild card left.
I don't even need my computer for this, so I'm going to go with Galaxy Quest.
Oh, I was wondering if he was going to get picked. That's a good one.
I love Galaxy Quest. It's like possibly one of the best Star Trek movies ever.
Yeah. Just love there are some
just
good
as long
Star
as the
Trek
fan
movies.
In there is fantastic. I love Sigourney Weaver. I think of her every time I have to like read out the navigation on the computer. Like, I have one job and I'm gonna do it. Like, that's right, sister. Do it. Yeah, I mean, Alan Rickman in that movie is just like
great.
He's emotional. He's fantastic, and he's like, you know, this very put upon British actor, height of seriousness. I was in Shakespeare, and then by the end, he's like, by the hammer of Grapthar, I shall avenge thee. And you like feel it. You're like, oh, all right, cool. I love that movie. It's just so good. I still watch it every year, every other year ish, something like that. It's super rewatchable for me, and it's just, it's awesome. I think it like really gets at like what it means to be a fan of something.
It's a great creative premise.
Oh yeah.
To then turn it into a satire.
Yeah.
I mean, I give those guys a lot of credit for just coming up with the idea and then to.
And like they do such a good job of like putting that in there too. Like all of it feels legitimate. It feels authentic. Like the whole like convention scene, you know, like, Justin Long, like in 1999, like communicating with all of his other fellow fans to like try to put together, like, they're coming in for a landing. We're going to go like save the day. And then they do like that. Like, I just love all of that. Like, it's just it's a film where I feel like the difficulty is really high to get that right.
Yeah.
And make it feel legitimate. And they nail like all of those choices. The part where they're going through the ship and they have to like weave through like a series of different obstacles as the thing is counting down. And like, this doesn't make any sense. Who wrote this? Like, it's just so good. And it's kind of like a little bit like Stranger Than Fiction too, where it's kind of that you have multiple levels working all at the same time and they work so well in concert with each other that it's just like, this is fantastic. So
yeah. Have you seen it?
No.
We'll put that on your list.
You ever
want
to watch it? I will watch it with you.
Alan Rickman,
so
good.
We could watch it after school and have our own picnic.
Oh yeah, Tony's in it too.
Double feature: Galaxy Quest and Looney Tunes.
Ooh, what a back to back!
I'd watch that.
I'd 100% do that.
I'm down.
All right, last pick. I've got Misunderstood. A few. Like Deep Blue Sea, I thought would be rotten. It's not.
I did too. I checked that one out too. 52
or something.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which would under our new
is that
right. parameters.
They're stuck. And there's sharks and they
yes.
get,
yeah.
I like that movie.
And Ice Cube
Samuel
in it, right?
L. Jackson.
Ice Cube.
No, it's LL Cool J.
It is LL Cool J.
Is that LL?
It is L.
It's LL.
Okay, this is already way too long. I'm going with Misunderstood. Don't Care, Wild Wild West is my misunderstood. Love that movie so much. Thank you, Will Smith, for turning down The Matrix so you could make this.
He turned down The Matrix?
He turned down Neo and really to make did. Wild Wild West.
Could you imagine the timeline we'd be living in right now if Will Smith was also Neo? Like, he was so in charge in the 90s and 2000s that, like,
the slap may not have happened.
Or it would have been in slow motion and Chris Rock might have dodged it.
Well, he would have already won his Oscar.
Dodge this.
That's true.
Instead of that night for King Richard. No, Wild Wild West soundtrack, the song is so good. Wow, it's just so bad that it's fun. I don't know how to explain it.
That's true.
There's a lot of movies like that. The lore of Kevin Smith and when he wrote the Superman movie with Nicolas Cage and how the producer's like, cool, great, but you need to have a giant spider in the third act. That's who Spider-Man Superman needs to fight.
Giant spider.
And he's like, I'm not going to do that. And so the movie went away, and then he's watching Wild Wild West, and lo and behold, there's a giant spider in the third act. Speaking of like Alan Rickman in Galaxy Quest, this is obviously a worse movie, but Kenneth Branagh doing the southern dictator or whatever.
Yeah.
So funny. Yeah. So many great lines, he and Will Smith back and forth. Mr. West. Oh, it's so good.
I hate that movie. I do too.
I thought it was going to be amazing. I was like, oh my God, Will Smith's in it. Let's go see it. We did. And I don't think I've been, at least this year, in a year of amazing movies, I don't know that I was more disappointed coming out of a theater than I was with Wild Wild West.
Here's some lore. That was the first movie I ever turned off in the middle.
Really?
Turned it off.
What? So you don't know how it ends?
No. I could not.
There's a giant spider in the third act.
Spoiler alert.
Knowing that, I don't even know how that's possible.
Well, because it's a Civil War steampunk spider. And that makes a lot of sense because they're also connecting the Transcontinental Railroad. Right. As a history teacher, it also just bothered me.
It's all 100% accurate.
Yeah, no.
No, that really happened.
Did anyone here watch the old television series like I did?
No. I
grew up with Bill Cashner. What do you think?
Oh, yeah. I mean, because I watched that, so I had an idea of what I thought I was going to
do. Oh, you talk about disappointed.
You did not, sir.
My old man was very upset. Man.
It is not that.
That is not Jim West.
You could have some fun with it, obviously, but I didn't. I thought it was going to be more that venue.
I thought it would be like a sort of a tongue in cheek that, and it wasn't at all.
That is a man's head. Kills me every time. And then he's like, it's blurred because he doesn't have his glasses on. And then he puts the glasses over the decapitated head. And it's like, oh, clear. There it is. There's the map. It's so terrible.
Who's
I love
his
it.
Sidekick? Mm. Who's the
Kevin actor? Klein.
Kevin Klein, yeah.
Oh,
the pride of Bloomington, Indiana, from IU. And Salma Hayek, love it. Well done, boys. 1999 is over.
Woo!
Happy with our list. Littell definitely won the soundtrack.
Yeah, he did.
There are some great soundtracks.
And he didn't even pick Prince, and he won the soundtrack.
Was there some Prince this year?
No, but it's 1999.
Mm. There we go. We got it in.
That's a great way to end it.
Just under the wire. Ticket Studs, out.